And so I'm here to share with you today The Creator's Masterpiece, Part 2. In your bulletin, it says the true motive of service, but the Lord impressed me to make a slight change. And so before we get into the word this morning, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Kind and loving Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the blessing of the Sabbath day. For giving us, O Lord, the health and strength to be able to make it here this morning. For giving us an opportunity to fellowship and to hear a word from on high. We pray and ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that you would give us ears to hear, O Lord, the message that you have prepared for us. And I pray, O Lord, that the words that will be spoken will not be from me, but will be directly from you, Lord, and that our minds will be renewed, and that we will be transformed, O Lord, and that our desire would be to draw closer unto you and to serve you with gladness. Thank you for all that you've done. Please let the Holy Spirit be here with us this morning. Remove anything, O Lord, that the enemy may try to cast before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So when I was here last, we spoke about the Creator's masterpiece, and we spoke about a few different things. But there's something that I wanted to highlight real fast, that we need to offer people something better. That is the purpose of us as Christians, especially as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. We're called to be the head and not the tail. And in Ministry of Healing, page 157, paragraph 1, it says that we must offer men something better than that which they possess, even the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Amen? And this is the model that we try to live by with our ministry and everything that we do pertaining to God's work, to offer them something better than which they already possess. So as we get into it, we're going to do just a brief recap. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, God created he them. And we're all familiar with this. And God created man in what image? In his own image, meaning in God's own image. In the book Education, it tells us that when Adam came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature a likeness to his maker. God created man in his own image, which we just read in Genesis. And it was his purpose that the longer man lived, the more fully he should reveal this image, the more fully reflect the glory of the Creator. So God made us in his image so that we can reveal this image, so that we can fully reveal his image that can be that he created in us. But because of sin, we have strayed away from God's plan. But God, in his mercy, has given us instructions in his written word and through the spirit of prophecy so that that image may be fully restored within us. Amen? In Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, it says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" So in all the things that God's created, the wonderful things that we see in nature, we see the things in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these different things, the galaxies that God has created, what are we that he is so mindful of us? We are his masterpiece of creation. We are the ones that Christ left the throne room of heaven to come and to save because of sin. So that should tell us something, that we're actually worth something, that God really cares and he loves us. Amen? He loves us so much that he created us out of what? The dust of the earth. Now, this is a recap. In the dust of the earth, there are different minerals that can be found that help in our longevity, that help with our health, as a matter of fact. You have magnesium, you have manganese, you have zinc, you have sulfur, you have iron, copper, All these different minerals can be found in the earth. And guess where else these minerals can be found? They can be found in us. They're also found in the plants that we eat, because the plants are planted in the earth, correct? And so in the earth, in the soil, you find these minerals. And so God has placed these things in the earth, in the soil, so that it can be a benefit unto us as well. So this is how much God really thinks about his creation. It wasn't just that he made us, but he made us and he gave us the things that we need within nature for our longevity. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139, verse 14. So now we're going to get into something a little bit different. We're going to talk a little bit about physiology and why we should study our physiology. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we went over this in the Creator's Masterpiece. However, it says that in order to be fitted for translation, the people of God must know themselves. How well do you know yourself? Anybody? By show of hands, anybody here know themselves very well? It says that they must understand in regard to their own physical frames, that they may be able, with the psalmist, to explain, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And indeed, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are things that go on in our brain that scientists still can't figure out. The eye itself is a whole nother story. And as science continues on to try to figure out certain things, everything points back to the Creator and shows how wonderfully we were made. We're told that, and those who would be workers together with God must strive for perfection of every organ of the body and quality of the mind. True education is the preparation of the physical, mental, and moral powers for the performance of every duty. It is the training of body, mind, and soul for divine service. This is the education that will endure unto eternal life. In other words, the more we understand about this frame that the Lord has given us, even for the perfection of our organs, this is our training ground. This is something that helps us. This is the education that will endure unto eternal life. It cannot be outdone. And in order for us to be workers with God, we have to understand the human body. We have to understand it in the regards to health. Because there are those out there that don't know anything about this. And God has given us through writings, through the word, how he wants to preserve health and how we can reach others through this modality as well. Amen? So, briefly, we'll go over the 8 laws of health. Godly trust. Actually, let me go back. So, the 8 laws of health is in an acronym called God's Plan. This is an acronym that was penned by Dr. Thomas Jackson at Meet Ministry. And so he puts it together in God's Plan. Have we all heard of New Start? So it's basically the same thing, but just used in a different acronym. So we start with godly trust. Then we have open air, daily exercise, sunlight, plenty of water, lots of rest, always temperate, and nutrition. So one thing that we need to understand is that God is at the top. We have to establish godly trust in all that we do. Open air. How important is air? Oxygen. Fresh oxygen. Amen? Out here in the country, or sometimes people go hiking, you can get some of the purest air in open air. Daily exercise. Moving our joints. Moving our muscles. If our hand is stagnant, if it stays like this, eventually you won't be able to move it, right? So we want to keep the blood flowing, keep those muscles and joints moving, have that elasticity between them. Sunlight. Sunlight is very important. There's cleansing in the sun, right? The Bible says that the sun of righteousness rises with what? Healing in his wings. There's also plenty of water. That might be, but there's also plenty of water. Water, our body is made up mostly of water. Our cells need water to survive. We need water to survive. Water also can be used not only internally, but externally also to keep us clean. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. Having lots of rest. Rest is very essential to us. As a matter of fact, not just to us, but it's also important to God because he's also given us what? A day of rest, the Sabbath day. Amen? And to be always temperate. We are to exercise temperance in all things. We want to abstain from the things that are bad, and the things that are good we want to use in moderation. And then nutrition. Nutrition is very important because the foods that we take in, the things that we put into our body, those things, that's what gives us the energy that we need. That's what helps us to be able to function day in and day out. But if we put things in our body that are not nutritious, things that don't benefit us, it can lead to disease. So physiology is myself. Since the laws of nature are the laws of God, it is plainly our duty to give these laws careful study. We should study their requirements in regard to our own bodies and conform to them. Ignorance in these things is sin. That's from Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6. So if we have no regard to the laws of health, if we have no regard to our physical health, to our body and its needs, it is sin. Because we are disregarding what God has given us. He has created us. And by ignoring this creation, we are literally ignoring God. So, in Psalms 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we're looking at our structural makeup from a cellular level. The cell is the smallest living organism. And then you have, from the cells, we get tissues. From tissues, we have organs. Organs, we have systems. And the systems make up the entire human body. Right? Now, we have different cells in our body that does different things. But however, we're looking at how the body's made up from a cellular level all the way to the body. And so we see the tissues, the organs, the systems, and the body. Now, there are 10 systems in our body. We have the excretory or the eliminative system, which is the skin. We have the skeletal, the muscular, the nervous system, the endocrine system. We have the circulatory system, respiratory, digestive, lymphatic, and reproductive system. These are all systems that we have in our body. We also have 7 channels of elimination. So these channels of elimination, this is where the body eliminates toxins through these different channels. We have the liver, we have the lungs, we have the lymphatic system, we have the blood, we have the skin, we have the colon, and we have the kidneys. If any of these are affected, the body would have issues with eliminating certain toxins. And then when the body has issues with eliminating certain toxins, then disease can start to set in even more. So it's very important for us to become more familiar on how we can keep these channels of elimination disease-free, basically. So the blood. The blood is a specialized body fluid. It has 4 main components: plasma, red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. Blood has many different functions, including transporting oxygen and nutrients to the lungs and tissues, forming blood clots to prevent excess blood loss, carrying cells and antibodies to fight infection, bringing waste products to the kidneys and liver, which filter and clean the blood. And it helps with the regulation of body temperature. So we looked at some of the 7 channels of elimination, and we see that the blood works hand in hand with the kidneys and with the liver as well. And it helps with, the blood is cleansed and the waste comes out through urine or through, you know, the back door. So the next thing now, speaking about the blood, is that in order to have good health, we must have good blood. For the blood is the current of life. It repairs waste and nourishes the body. When supplied with the proper food elements and when cleansed and vitalized by contact with pure air, it carries life and vigor to every part of the system. The more perfect the circulation, the better will this work be accomplished. So, good circulation or having good health is good blood. And good circulation, we get good circulation from what? From exercising, right? And this was one of the eight laws of health. It also talks about contact with pure air. We spoke about open air also. This is also one of the eight laws of health. And so these things work hand in hand together. Leviticus 17 verse 11 tells us that for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the health of our blood depends on our overall health as well. Now, I touched on the blood briefly because I wanted to get into the skin. The skin is about 16% of our body weight. It is the largest elimination organ. The skin is renewed every 27 days on average. And 25% of waste is excreted through the skin. It's also essential in vitamin D production, and it absorbs. Many things that are applied to your skin can be detected in the bloodstream within 20 minutes. Now, we said the life of the flesh is where? In the blood, right? So the things that we put on our skin, we have to be very mindful of because the skin absorbs. So not only does the skin eliminate, it also absorbs. It also helps to regulate body temperature also. So now we have to understand that sometimes we might buy certain products to put on our skin because it smells good. Because it looks good. We may have seen a commercial where it's in slow motion and like they're just having the best time of their life putting this thing on their skin or whatever. But we need to become very intelligent and very mindful of what's in these products. Because some products may have chemicals in them that are very harmful to the skin. I didn't bring a list, but I can just go through some of the things real brief. Well, very briefly for you. In some of the products, there might be things that are called parabens, sulfates. There might even be formaldehyde or even petroleum. How many of you have heard of petroleum jelly? We all know what that is, right? I'm not going to say the name, but we know what. If you don't know what petroleum jelly is, ask your neighbor. They may know what that is. But petroleum is used for what? For what? For fuel. So why am I putting a byproduct of fuel on my skin? Right? So these are some of the things that we have to be mindful of because now as we're putting these things on, the skin absorbs them and it goes directly into your bloodstream. Now if the blood isn't pure, what can happen? What can happen? We said that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood, right? And we said that good blood equals good health. So the more and more you put harmful products on your skin, the more and more you're reducing the good health of your blood, and which can now lead to disease. Continuing with the skin. So there are passive and active functions of the skin. The skin can give protection from cold, heat, and radiation. It gives protection from pressure, blows, and abrasion. Protection from the action of chemical substances. Protection from invasion of microorganisms. Also, protection from heat and water loss. Defense against invading microorganisms. And absorption of certain substances. When we sweat, that's when we're cooling down. So people will say, man, I'm hot and I'm sweating. Your body's starting to cool down. It's letting out this perspiration so that it can cool down. Circulatory and thermal regulation by means of dermal vascular system. And pressure, vibration, tactile pain, and temperature sensory organs. All of this goes on in the skin. You know that you feel pain when you feel on your skin. You know something's crawling on you because of the nerve endings and the sensories that are in the skin, and it lets you know that these things are going on. This is why it's very important for us to understand what it is that we're putting on our skin and how it can affect us. The pen of inspiration tells us the importance of cleanliness and keeping our skin clean as well. In Ministry of Healing 276, paragraph 1, it says that scrupulous cleanliness is essential to both physical and mental health. So being clean isn't just a physical thing, it's a mental thing as well. Impurities are constantly thrown off the body through the skin. Its millions of pores are quickly clogged unless kept clean by frequent bathing. And the impurities, which should pass off through the skin, become an additional burden to the other eliminating organs. So it doesn't just affect your skin, it affects the other eliminating organs. We spoke about the blood, right? And also how the blood works hand in hand with the liver and with the kidneys, and they all work together. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's important for us to keep this body that the Lord gave us, to keep it clean. So cleanliness is next to what? Godliness. It's next to godliness. So this is something that we should definitely keep in mind. We're also the temple of God. The knowledge that man is to be a temple for God, a habitation for the revealing of his glory, should be the highest incentive to the care and development of our physical powers. Fearfully and wonderfully has the Creator wrought in the human frame, and he bids us make it our study, understand its needs, and act our part in preserving it from harm and defilement. If we purchase a new vehicle, or if we purchase a new computer, a new phone, whatever it may be, we do our best in making sure that we keep it clean. You got a new car, you probably wash it every 2 days to make sure it's still shiny like how it came off the lot. You got a new phone, you go get a screen protector, you get a case to put around it, you protect it, right? We have to act the same way when it comes to our bodies. Not even the same way. We have to be even more diligent when it comes to our bodies. We only get one body. And as time goes by, as we age, things start to slow down, things start to not be as fresh and young as it used to be. But however, God has given us instructions and he has shown us techniques on how we can keep the vitality of our body and keep ourselves looking younger than we actually are. Amen? So even keeping our clothes clean is important. It is important also that the clothing be kept clean. The garments worn absorb the waste matter that passes through the pores. If they are not frequently changed and washed, the impurities will be reabsorbed. You all understand that? So it's important for us to keep our clothes clean. I know sometimes we try to save on the water bill and try not to wash clothes as often, but that's not the case. Our skin eliminates waste from our body, and that waste goes into our clothing. So if you have on a certain shirt, certain clothes today, or whatever it is, it's in our best interest to wash those clothes so that we're not reabsorbing the same waste that we just eliminated. So why do people get sick? Satan is the originator of disease. There is a divinely appointed connection between sin and disease. Sin and disease bear to each other the relationship cause and effect. So because of sin, there is disease. Are you following? Disease never comes without a cause. The way is first prepared and disease invited by disregarding the laws of health. So we prepare the way for disease when we disregard the laws of health, when we choose not to keep our bodies clean, when we don't want to get open air, not spend any time in the sun or open up the windows, let that cool breeze come in, being temperate in all things, nutrition, the things that we eat, that we put into our body, and above all, having godly trust, asking him to give us wisdom in these things of what we should do. Through disease transmitted to them from their parents, and an erroneous education in youth, they have embedded wrong habits, injuring the constitution, affecting the brain, causing the moral organs to become diseased and making it impossible for them to think and act rationally upon all points. So basically, these things can affect our brain. It's not just a physical thing, but it's a mental thing also, which also then stoops over into the spiritual. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Christ doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to have these diseases that can be easily, these lifestyle diseases that can be controlled if we adhere to the laws of health. We saw here in the previous slide that Satan is the originator of disease. But Christ, he wants to give us life and he wants to give it to us more abundantly. So there's reasons to reform. There's health reform, there's dress reform. And these reasons are to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, if you have your Bibles, please open it up. Everything is not going to be on the screen this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. If you have it, say amen. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it tells us, "Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." So one of the reasons for health reform is to glorify God. What about for the restoration of health? In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah. Chapter 30, verse 17. Are we there? It says here, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, who no man seeketh after." So God is saying here, and this is in the chapter where he's speaking about the restoration of the land. But he's saying here that he will restore health unto us and he will heal us of our wounds. So to restore health is another reason for reform. We want to have that restoration of health. Amen. What about to maintain our health? 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Third John chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth." So we see here that maintaining our health is something that this is a godly principle. We don't want to decay and deteriorate because of our lack of neglect. We want to maintain our health by adhering to the laws that God has given us through his gospel medical book. Amen. And what about for the perfection of character? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this is a verse that we should be familiar with. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And it's also part of the three angels' message. Revelation 14, verse 7 tells us to what? Fear God and do what? Give glory unto him. He wants us to glorify him in our bodies, in the things that we put into our bodies. This glorifies him because it shows a reflection of his character. It shows what he has given to us that we are taking care of. We are being good stewards of this body that he's given us. And it's also to escape many dangers. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse 1 and verse 15, it shows us a very stark contrast. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it shows us the blessings that comes from being obedient to God. And in Deuteronomy, in the same chapter, verse 15, it shows us the curses that comes when we are disobedient. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says here, "And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." This is a charge that the Lord has given us, that in observing his commandments, in obeying his statutes, that we will be set on high above all the other nations, that we would be an example to others as well, so that this gives us an opportunity to witness to them. Somebody may come to you and be like, "Well, how do you stay so healthy? Or how do you look so good? Or your skin looks so nice. Like, what's going on?" This is an opportunity. This is a wedge that gives us an opportunity to reach that soul. But if we choose not to, verse 15 tells us, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then it goes on and lists all these different diseases. Now, this is when Moses was talking to the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt, and it went on and spoke about, you know, a lot of the diseases that the Egyptians were having because of the lifestyle and because they chose not to accept God. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is" what? "Your reasonable service. And be not conformed," as we read earlier, "to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have to have a transformation in our mind, especially to not only what we put in our bodies, but what we put on our bodies as well. We may see things and these products may look good or whatever it may be. And some of them are. Don't let me misguide you. But we have to be careful to read and to see what are going in these things. Some have perfumes, some have dyes, and these things can be cancerous to us. It can enter into our skin and cause even more damage that we may not see until later on down the road. So we are to glorify God with our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. And also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that "ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Lord doesn't want us to be in darkness when it comes to the care of our body, when it comes to our personal health and our personal hygiene. These are things that he wants us to be very mindful of. And not only just for us, but for the world as well. For us to share these things that we learn, these things that we understand with others, so that they too may be able to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disruptings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We have to be shining lights, brothers and sisters, in this dark world, to proclaim the gospel and to use this message of health to reach others that may not know of God, but they may be looking and seeking for something better. We have something better, and we need to share it with them. Amen? I'm going to leave this with you. God wants to make you perfect. The lost coin in the Savior's parable through lying in the dirt and rubbish, was a piece of silver still. Its owner sought it because it was of value. So every soul, however degraded by sin, is in God's sight accounted precious. As the coin bore the image and superscription of the reigning power, so man in his creation bore the image and superscription of God. Though now marred and dim through the influence of sin, the traces of this inscription remain upon every soul. God desires to recover that soul and to retrace upon it his own image in righteousness and holiness. No matter how marred, no matter how downtrodden we may become in this world, we are still his creation. And we were made in his image originally. And he wants to restore that image within us. Because as she says here, even though it was in the dirt and it was in the rubbish, it was still a coin. We are still his creation. And he still loves us. And he wants to restore that image within us. Amen? Now, if we want that image restored within us, let me see a show of hands. Amen. Amen. So we'll sing our closing hymn, and then I will close with the benediction. Was the message clear this morning?
Yes.
Did you understand it? Are we going to make some changes? You don't sound too sure. You have to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.